Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend. Thank you around your word. Thank you that the word gives light. And in your word, there is no darkness. Nothing is hidden from your eyes. And we pray, Lord, this morning that through your Holy Spirit, you will shine your light into our hearts, into our spirits. Thank you for your word that is eternal, that cuts between soul and spirit. Thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. It's the only eternal thing we can hold on to, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for breaking open, Lord, and breaking off the lies that the devil brings or this world, Lord. But we thank you for the freedom we have, because you say when we abide in your word, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to breathe the life and the light of God into our souls and into our spirits. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to share something very simple with us this morning, but as we are on this long weekend, I don't know if some of you, especially working people, if you've slept late and you wake up the next morning, but you've slept like 9 hours and your body isn't used to sleeping so long, then you're more tired after you've woken up. Okay, so I saw some people walking into church this morning as if they're more tired. They need another long weekend, but it's all right. You know, it's great for us to spend time with family and friends. But it's really times like this where we have to consider. The Bible talks about counting the cost. It's almost like weighing out certain things. And for the older people, you always had these. My grandfather, I grew up on a farm. We had this little scale, and you sort of would bring the scales, and you would put the salt, or you put stuff as you would weigh it out on this scale. And that's almost the picture the Bible gives us. It says we must weigh out our lives. We must sometimes consider where we're at and then evaluate where we're at and where we're going and sort of stop sometimes. And that's why long weekends like this is very good for us, because you stop from your busy schedule and then you have to consider certain things. Now, Jesus had a lot of moments like this with his disciples, and we're going to read about two of these moments, because when we look at this world and things that's going on in our nation and all across the world, you know, we're living in one of the most scary times ever. The world is more divided than ever before. There's more hatred and anger and division and stuff and opinions that's flying around. There's a lot of fear, if we're really honest with ourselves. If you take an average conversation around the braai place, the barbecue fire, you know, or just sitting around the table, there are so much fear in even our normal conversations. And that's the question when we as Christians, or maybe you're not a Christian yet today, maybe you're a religious person, maybe you've grown up in church, but that doesn't say that you're not going to be free from this one thing called fear. And the greatest fear that you and I can ever have is the fear of death. And that's why it's so important on a morning like this that we celebrate God's resurrection. For me, the most amazing testimony is the moment when that Roman soldier that stood next to the cross of Jesus, as it was his custom to crucify people, it was his job description. So imagine you're like a doctor, or you're a, you know, we have some doctors here in church with us that are here at the hospital, at Stellenbosch Hospital. The one guy, his name is Lawson, he tells us some of the stories sometimes just before we start to eat. And then you think like, whoa, if this is like your normal way of living, you know, he says he's this morning there was somebody that came with a knife that they put into his mouth. And then you think like, oh, gross, you know, this is like scary. And then the doctor tells you the story as they're busy eating. You think like, whoa, you know, I would pass out, you know. And it's almost like sometimes they get desensitized to a lot of blood or a lot of negative things. But now imagine this Roman soldier standing at the cross of Jesus, and he's been doing this for his life. And yet, the greatest testimony was what he said next to the cross of Christ. He said, surely, this is the Son of God. Even in the way Jesus died, there was a testimony that he was the Son of God. Isn't that amazing that in the most, you know, that's where we get the word excruciating pain from. It's out of the cross, ex out of the cross, the crucifixion. In the way Christ died, somebody next to that cross said, surely this was the Son of God. And the question as we start off this morning, as we embark on this thing, there's some questions we have to ask. Can you say that? Can I say that? That surely this is the Son of God. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 13. The Lord spoke about the kingdom and he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He says the kingdom is something very simple. Some people say, oh, the kingdom is out there, the kingdom is this. But the kingdom is simply where the king rules and he reigns, where Christ has got dominion and authority in our lives. So the kingdom starts first with the individual, starts with you and I, starts in our house, starts in our heart. And then it should start in the places where we live. That's why the kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the place where we have influence, the place where you and I walk every day. That's the kingdom. That's why Jesus said, pray that the kingdom would come. But here the Lord talks about this kingdom as this merchant that goes, and this merchant finds something. He finds the pearl of greatest price. And his response to that is that he sells everything to go and get that pearl. Or the one guy here who goes and finds this treasure in the field, and obviously, there's a prerequisite for this kingdom to come. And this is somebody is searching for something. This guy who's on the ship looking for this pearl, he's like searching for something. If there's no hunger, if there's no searching for the kingdom, you and I cannot find it. If you and I are not looking for God, if we're looking for something else, then obviously if there's no hunger or thirst inside of us, then we cannot find God. Seek him and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. So there is something that must happen in our hearts. And you know, that's what the world does. The world makes us look for God or not for God in other ways. And yet, it's so simple for the kingdom. He comes and he says, oh, when you come to this place, are you willing then? When you find it, then you'll say, wow, I'm willing to exchange everything else for this one thing, the pearl of greatest price, which is our relationship with God, which is the power of forgiveness, which is the freedom that you and I can walk in. But you know, we in this world, and especially with a Western culture, we try to put value on everything. We sort of want to exchange stuff, you know, for other things. So let me use an example. Say, for instance, somebody gives you a gift. It's not your birthday. It's not a special day for you, anniversary or anything like that. But somebody walks up to you and gives you a 10,000 rand gift today. You're in the foyer. Somebody that you don't know, or maybe you just know them a little. And that person gives you a gift. What is your what would your response be? Probably the wrong person, you know. Is this really for me? Or would you also think like, wow, what must I give in exchange? I owe this person for giving me this gift. Or if it's somebody that you know, and you think like, oh, I must give them something back. It's very difficult for us to receive something. And the reason for that is just simply because of pride. Because we don't want to be vulnerable or dependent on other people. And so many times when we come to God, what we do is, because of pride or our own self-righteousness, We cannot receive the fullness of Christ because we try to be our own savior. Come on. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be in that place where we say, God, I am completely dependent on you. We want to control and we want to fix our lives and we want to... But yet in this little parable, you see that there's this guy and the kingdom, he says, is when you found that thing, you'll give up everything else. And the pearl of greatest price, that word is not something you can put value on, monetary value. And as I was preparing yesterday, especially for this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly. He said to me that in the world, there's so much fear. So many people are so trapped in fear. And the currency by which they want to do things is fear. But the currency of heaven is faith. And we're going to talk about that a little bit too this morning. Because the transaction that God wants us to come to is not in our value or the things we put on the table or how much money we throw into the offering bag. God is not really interested in that. It tells him something about your heart this morning. But what he's interested in is a real faith. Is what is really worth that life that he's come to offer us. And that's why I love it when John the Baptist walked onto the scene and he was busy baptizing a lot of people. A lot of people came out and repented. And when Jesus came, the first words he spoke is, "Behold, the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. When John the Baptist looked at Jesus, the first words that he gives to Jesus is the worth of Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. He could have said, "Behold the powerful one, behold the king, behold the..." But he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so when you and I stand before God today, where we have to start when it comes to the kingdom of God is we need to ask this question, is simply, what worth do we put on the cross of Christ? What worth do we put on forgiveness? Or do we just put a value on it? Are we trying to buy? Are we trying to transact with God and bring something that we want to put on the table? But there is actually nothing we can put on the table. There is, the Bible talks about your and my filthy rags. It says when, you know, Scripture is very clear. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Isn't that amazing? The word nothing. If you go to China, it means nothing. But it's still the same. You know, if you go to Hawaii, it's probably nothing. You know, like a surfer type of dude. I don't know. But it doesn't matter how many times or what angles you try to put on the word nothing, it still means nothing. Now, we don't want to hear that because we want to bring our own goodness to God. But this scripture about the kingdom is so profound because it says, hey, if you go to seek and you find that thing, sell everything. Leave everything because you realize what is worth. Let me throw a couple of words, and that's the question, value or worth? God placed worth on us through Jesus Christ. And that is why when we come from that place and we worship God, we can say, "Worthy is the Lamb." We don't say, "Valuable is the Lamb," when we worship God. We can only place worth back onto God called worship. Worship, worthy is the one. Place it on Him once we have accepted the worth that He's placed on us. And that's why Yolandi spoke about the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that really defines us. But the question is, when you look at value in your life, when you look at monetary things, we all drive maybe a car, or we live in a home, we feel secure by those things. We want to place a value on something. And sometimes you look at your bank account. Sometimes you look at stuff around you. Sometimes you look at the numbers. And you say, that's valuable. But God talks about the precious. He talks about the worthy. He talks about the immeasurable. And that is why there's certain things that you cannot measure. The presence of God, you cannot measure. The forgiveness of God, the things that He's given us, you and I cannot measure it. There isn't There isn't a value. You cannot place a monetary value on that. Are you with me? Thank you for your enthusiasm over there. You know? But if you're going to live your life, and I'm going to live my life out of that place, then do you know we're going to be motivated by fear? And listen to what people are saying now over this nation. Listen to the fear that's coming up. People are just speaking negative things. Listen to our mouths. No, this nation is going under. No, this is, you know, I was speaking to Angus in this week, and we just laughed when I spoke to him on the phone, and he said, but you know, there's so many people that are so negative, and it's actually so good. It's actually so good that people are now speaking negatively and criticism, because God uses even that. Because now everybody is going up to Bloemfontein next weekend, and they're expecting 1.5 million people there, you know, to pray for the nation. So he says, but the criticism that he received in the past 3 weeks, who are you? Why are you saying to people they must come and pray? No, can't we just pray at home? And he says, no, this is what God said. And if we want to do things God's way, we do it His way. Then we don't bring fear into the equation. Because fear is the opposite of faith. The currency of heaven is faith. And the question that we must ask ourselves is, do we actually live in that place of faith? What are we trusting God for? And maybe we must just start in our nation. Maybe we must just start in your home. Maybe there's somebody that you and I need to pray for. Because it's only faith that pleases God. Not our nice Christian community. Not our coming together. Those things, God loves us. God is not going to reject us from heaven. But there's something that pleases God, and that is faith. Something when you step out of that place where you realize, like, wow, my bank account is not going to solve this problem. Yeah, this thing that they're organizing in Bloemfontein, it only cost, I think, 17 million rand. Now you get the critics. Why would you spend so much money on one event like that? Well, since when has money been an issue for God? If you measure things in money terms, that's where it's going to stay. But if you measure things in eternal things, that seed of faith can change a nation. You see, because the other thing, when you and I measure our lives out just because of value and in monetary terms and getting to the bottom line, then what begins to happen is we live in a shame culture. And this is why the culture in the West that we are part of is falling apart at the moment. There are more people in depression in Europe today than what goes to natural doctors. More goes and are on antidepressants. So we're living in a society that is falling apart. Why? Because of shame. And shame is a deep, entrenched value system that is born into or birthed into a culture. And shame tells you that you are never good enough. It's shame is about who you are. Guilt is about what you've done wrong. But shame is about the person of who you are. And therefore, the culture in the West says that you derive your identity from things outside and not from worth of inside. So we measure our worth or our value by what we drive or where we go on holiday or what we do out there. But you know, those things cannot satisfy. You always live in a place where the things from the outside will bring shame. Why? Because you compete with other people around you. Because look at them, they're going on that holiday, or look at them. So now it's outside things that places value on you, while it's not an inside worth that Christ puts on you. And that's why when you go to the East, it's much more amazing, even the cultures there, of honor and blessing. Why? Because they place worth on things that are much more worthy. There's obviously a lot of things wrong in those cultures as well. But if you go to the Japanese culture, for instance, they have got a saying. They say, when an old man dies, it's like a library that has been burned down. But you know what we do with old people? We put them in old age homes. And say, hey, we'll bless you. Just die on your own. So much wisdom. So much life. And the younger generation then just rebels against the older generation. Why? Because in our culture, we don't value that part of life. Are you with me? And therefore, it becomes a shame culture. And God said, I don't want you to live there. I want you to live in a place where you can first feel that God has placed worth on you, but then also that you can then also honor people around you, because you're not competing with Him. You're not standing against people around you. And that's why the cross of Christ is so powerful. The cross of Christ sets us free from any shame or guilt or even generational stuff or cultural things. And that's why it says when He looks at us, He says there's no slave, there's no free, there's no Gentile, there's no Jew, there's no woman or man in Christ. In Christ, we have worth. It's the same. So now I'm not feeling inferior because I'm a lady, or I'm not feeling superior because in Christ there's another definition to who we are. Are you with me? And so God wants to break shame over us because we cannot be free, even as a nation. There are too many black people that feel too black and feel too this, or too many white people that feel too this, or too many colored people that feel too this or too that. And then we hide in those boxes, and that is why the Church of Jesus Christ is the only answer for this nation. Because God is colorblind, I mean. I love to just look over this crowd and I think like, wow, just look at this. This is the body of Christ. God just sees people washed with the blood of Jesus. Free. So when I walk into the church, I'm not black or white. I've got worth because He defines that worth. Not the people around me. Amen? That's so exciting. That's why the church is the only one. And then the last one is, are we guilt? Do we have guilt, or are we free? You see, if you live by this little blackboard where you have to tick off all the marks, you have to be perfect, you have to do it in yourself, you have to perform, then you're always going to live because you're going to fall short and you're always going to feel guilty. Oh, He's not making it. He's guilty. And that's what performance does. That's what fear does. That's what this culture brings into our lives. It's like, I'm never good enough. I'm never content with where I am. I always need something on the outside to satisfy me, while God says, let me come inside of you. Let me change it from the inside out. And when I've come inside of you, then what's going to happen is you're going to find the kingdom. You're going to lose everything around you because you found the pearl of greatest price. You've come to that place where you realize that God's presence in your life is immeasurable and you cannot put a value on it, especially not a monetary value. Amen. Listen to this in Matthew 6, verse 24. It's getting very quiet here this morning, but we're going to get some amens now. Okay. So Jesus started to get very, very straight with certain things. Not because of money issues or any stuff like that, but because He wanted to break this culture over people's lives, the way that we think. And the fears that sometimes grip our hearts. Because do you know what? It's actually, some people think like, it's poor people that have got the most fear. No. It's the rich people that have a lot of things that have the most fear. Because of the things that's in their hearts. So I've seen the people that are the most free in Christ are people in the northern parts of India, in the northern parts of Nepal, where there are pastors that have got like one day holiday a year. They don't have weekends, one day holiday a year, and then they go on a mission trip on that one day holiday. And they're completely free. And they realize like, Lord, freedom is not defined by what we have. Freedom is defined by who we are. So Jesus came very strongly, especially when it came to these stuff. What are we measuring life to? That's where he starts in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Now these are complete opposite attitudes towards two masters. He says, hate, love, loyal, despise. You're going to do one of these two with the master that you serve. That is why we see so many people today hating God. So many people hating Christ. There are more Christians being persecuted today than any other religion in the world. And yet you hear nothing of it in the news. Just the other day, they blew up a massive church in Egypt, in Cairo. I think 40 people died, but it didn't catch the news. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now he actually, Jesus, it's the only God he refers himself to is the God of money. And he starts to say, hey, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value or worth than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, now he brings the currency of heaven in. And he says, okay, fear or faith? You're going to either live in one of those two areas of your life. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentile seeks, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So he knows it. He's not despising your need. He's not saying, hey, I'm not going to look after you. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's just a priority. It's a shift in what you place first. What are you dependent on? What am I dependent on? And how many times, you know, when God even brings a breakthrough in our lives, then that breakthrough becomes an idol. But my question this morning is a simple question. What is the fear in your heart, sir? Lady, what is that thing that grips you when you're alone? What is that thing that sort of puts you in bondage? Because fear will torment your soul. That's what Scripture says. Fear takes you to that place. Maybe it's a simple fear. Maybe it's like, hey, I'm going to die before I'm getting old, or maybe I'm not going to have enough, or maybe I'm not going to get married, or maybe my marriage is not going to last. Maybe those maybes, those suggestions, that stuff, that's a whole area that we live in many times, and it happens right here in our heads. I remember a time when I thought, like, I'm going to die because I, you know, thought, oh, you know, this sickness is just going to, I was on the third stretch of antibiotics, and I just thought, okay, this is it. I hear the bells in heaven ring. I don't know if there is bells, but I hear the bells. Jesus is calling me home, you know. But it's amazing. Then you keep quiet, and then for weeks you can start to ponder that same thing, and you start to think, like, whoa, Khuna, this is it. I'm finished. But you know, God has the final word in your life. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? And yet there's these little things, these little foxes that come in because of a value system, because we have to make a bigger shift than just say, oh, I'm going to reject the fear. You need to come to say, what is worth? What is worth in your life? What has God done in your life? So here I'm going to read the last scripture. And so in Philippians 4, a scripture that we all know, where it starts, and the challenge for us is when we think of has Christ really risen? What did he die for when he said, it is finished? Then he broke every fear. He broke every slavery. He broke everything that would grip you and me. Everything that would say, I need to hide away, or I need to find my security in earthly things. Jesus says, you cannot serve that God and me at the same time. You cannot serve two gods. You're either going to be loyal or you're going to despise. You're going to hate or you're going to love. But you and I need to make decisions. It's hard decisions. It's a daily decision. And that's why here in Philippians 4, Paul writes, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. That means everything. I like Scripture. Because Scripture says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. there's always a nothing or an all and an everything. There isn't an in-between. There isn't a place for lukewarmness in the kingdom. But in everything, does that mean just my breakthrough? No. Especially in the things that doesn't work out for me. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. You're not looking too enthusiastically inspired this morning. Because what about that that failure? What about that thing that didn't work out? What about that prayer that I prayed and the Lord didn't come through for me? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In everything. It's a lifestyle that the Christian, especially the spiritful Christian, should live. But we look defeated because we don't understand, because we place our value in the wrong place. We place our worth in the wrong things. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that's asking, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that an amazing scripture? It says, when you and I enter in through thanking God, through asking God, be honest, be real, don't pretend, just be honest before Him. Let your request be made known. Tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what you're anxious about. Thank Him for this opportunity where, by faith, He is going to bring a breakthrough in your life in this area. Don't try to sort it out yourself. Just go to Him and say, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for my faith to grow. Because, Lord, I don't have any faith. I feel I'm going to die right now. Now, if you walk by faith, that's what you're going to ask a lot of times. You're going to just say, Jesus, help! That's a good prayer to pray. If you're praying that prayer, then you're in a good place. Okay? It's called a prayer of faith. It's not a fancy prayer that you pray when you need to step out in faith. You're going to feel you want to die a thousand deaths. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in two areas. In your hearts and your soul, but also in your mind, your way of thinking through Christ Jesus. And then normally we stop there. But now He gives us a final thought. He says, but now you have to do this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue. Now that word is a word that you don't find a lot in the Bible, but it's the same to worth. But virtue is a much higher word. We get it in the moment when the lady that had a flow of blood for many years and went to doctor after doctor, the Bible says when she touched the hem of His garment, virtue flowed out of Him. Virtue. Virtue wasn't just healing for that lady. Virtue was life. Because of the shame that she had, because of the years of shouting unclean, unclean, because that was what a lady that had a flow of blood had to do in public. Because a Jew were not allowed to touch a lady like that, because when you touched her, you had to go and bath yourself and have yourself in quarantine for 3 days. And most probably, that lady could get killed. But a lady runs up to Christ, goes on her knees and touches the hem of His garment. And the moment when she touched Him, He stops in that crowd, stops and looks around. And the Bible says, virtue flowed out of Him. Same word. If there is any virtue worth, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So the Bible challenges us to step out of this way of thinking in fear and what is the world tries to put a value on us, and it comes to us and says, okay, if you want to be anxious for nothing, then you need to learn to start to think on the right things. What is true? What is noble? What is just? What is pure? What is lovely? What is of good report? And the things that define it is worth, virtue, God's worth. And if there is anything praiseworthy, which is eternal, think about these things. That's a complete different way of living. That challenges me intensely because I have to renew my mind. Are you with me this morning? Because the world wants to trap you in thinking about other things, thinking about your worries, thinking about your fears. But when I think about the cross, I think like worth. I think like virtue. I think like life. I think like resurrection. I think like eternal things. I think like I'm completely free because of what Christ has done. So the cross isn't just a little symbol we wear on our necks. The cross is life itself. That's where life begins. The words of Christ is eternal. The words that we have, the presence of God is eternal. And the challenge for you and I is to say, God, we're shifting ourselves to that place. Out of the realm of fear into the realm of faith. Because it takes a lot of faith to live there. It takes a lot of faith to meditate on those things, to think about it, to worship God. See, then we can become worshipers. Because now we're placing worth on God and we're saying, God, thank you that the only reason why we can worship you is because you've placed worth on us. Because we're defined by the cross. We're defined in the blood of Christ. We're defined about what he says and not what about the people say. Our nation is defined about what Christ has to say about it. Amen? What has God? Are we praying? Are we asking God, God, what is your word for our nation? Don't pray out of fear. Oh God, please be with us. Oh God, please help us. Oh God, please, this nation is going under. God cannot answer prayers like that. But when we come by faith, God, what is noble? What is true over our nation? What is true over my family? What is true over my life? And you start to meditate on it and you start to pray that. You ask God for those things, then you say, hey, yes, God. Because God understands the currency of faith. God understands when you and I begin to relate to him. Will you stand with me this morning as we're going to finish off and pray for each other and ask the band to come up? And the good news for us, Jesus said, it is finished. Florence, you and I cannot add something to a finished work. Have you realized that? If there's a Picasso painting, you and I can stand next to it and think like, wow. Or the Mona Lisa or the Mona whatever, you know. If you stand in front of that painting and think like, wow. If you and I would come and bring our little brush there and splash our little colors onto that, well, you're probably not going to be able to do that because there's probably such a thick glass between you and that painting. But imagine how people would laugh at you and think like, wow, you're trying to add to this beautiful painting by your colors, you know. You're trying to splash, and I'm trying to splash our fears onto God. We're trying to say, God, you know what? The cross isn't sufficient because, you know, I'm going to do it my way. Haven't we heard some songs like, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to settle this thing myself because, do you know what? I'm going to determine my value. And I'm going to show people the car that I drive, the school that I've gone to, the places I've gone to, the people that I know. That really places value on my life. The holidays I've been to, God says, meditate on what is noble and what is true. What is worth is the relationships we have. The relationship with God. It's eternal. Your marriage is going to stop one day. You're only going to be married to the Lamb of God. Everything in this world is going to fade away. Everything that the world is putting value on is going to wash away. It's going to, just in a, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. And then when you stand before him, when you stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only thing that will define you is whether you have been washed by the blood or not. Whether you are free by the blood of Jesus or not. The only thing that defines you is whether you've been forgiven And then he's going to say, come. I receive you because of the blood of my son. I receive you because of the word that he held dear to and you were faithful to the end. I receive you because of the life that I've given you. He's not going to say, I receive you because you've got 10 degrees. I've received you because you were such a nice person. Jesus said, there's no good person on the earth. It's only one that's good. It's the Father. You and I are not good. We are evil. We are wicked people needing a Savior. And that's why he died on Calvary, to set you free, sir. Because when you lie there in your bed at night, what do you think? What are you afraid of? What's the stuff that goes on in your mind? I have a lot of friends in the Middle East, pastors and Christians. And when I go there, I sometimes feel a bit ashamed. I think like, God, you know, these people are not afraid of death. There's so much fear of death still in my life. And one of these pastors that I met in Egypt, he said one day they were bringing out his children in front of him. They're holding a gun to the child's head, to his son, his oldest son's head. He said, deny Jesus or we will kill your son. And then he said, I will never do that. I will never do that. Because how can I trade something earthly for something eternal? And his son knew God. And the man that wanted to shoot his son just dropped the gun and he said, I've never seen such faith. But see, those are defining moments in our lives when we are faced with the most intense fears. And I don't know what is the fear in your heart maybe this morning. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus said, it is finished. And I'm going to challenge us this morning as we're going to just sing a song. If you're here and you don't know him, maybe you're a religious person. So those fears are going to kill you. Lady, those fears, you have to walk out from them. And the only one that can solve that is Jesus himself. When he saves you from the fear of death, the fear of shame, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of not making it, the fear of not being good enough, the fear of not pleasing your neighbor or pleasing your parents or pleasing your children. Those fears, they can grip you and you live your whole life because you've got another value system. And God says, come, I'm giving you worth. Come, I'm going to show you the precious gift that I have, and it's my son. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, then what an opportunity to respond to him. I'm going to ask you to come to the front if you don't know Jesus. Or this morning, if you are gripped by fear, if you realize that you need an exchange of a value system to say, God, I've neglected your worth. I've neglected what is the most amazing things. It's just thanksgiving. It's forgiveness. I'm free. I'm free. Jesus has set me free. I'm free. I'm free. Nobody can define me except him. When I looked in his eyes, I'm free. He defines me. He knows me. And now I decide to worship him. I decide to take that worth that he's placed on me by dying for me, to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and glory and fame and holiness and fullness. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb to receive power and glory and riches and honor. And that is what we'll do in heaven. Worship him. Worthy is the Lamb. Worth on him. Worth on him. Worth on him. Worthy is he that has defined us, that has redeemed our lives from destruction. So Father, this morning I pray for every person here that you'll come to set the captives free. There's some people, God, here that have come here this morning with so much walls up in their lives. Lord, there's some men here that just want to run away. They've heard the gospel, but Lord, they want to do their own things because there's a deep root of rebellion. A fist. Lord, I see a man here today with a fist pointing at you. Say, I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to do it my way. Lord, you will never raise your fist. You'll never raise anger towards that man. But today you just have open arms to say, come, I want to be your father. Come, I want to be your father. Why are you running away? Why are you rebelling? Lord, there's a lady here that feels so lonely, more than one. So lonely, so intense lonely. She cries every night. Doesn't know where to go. But Lord, you've counted every tear. You've seen every heartache. You've seen every pain. Lord, there's some people here that are so struggling. They're just thinking, where is going to be my next provision? How am I going to survive? And Lord, you say, I'm with you. I'm going before you. Father, there's some people that have got so much regret because of choices they've made. And Lord, you extend your forgiveness today. Lord, there's a place of freedom. Lord, there's a man here that needs to go for a heart operation that you want to heal this morning, Lord. He's got palpitations, heart, Lord, just heart beatings, Lord, that is so quick, Father, and he's afraid of that operation, but you want to heal him today, Lord. There's a couple of people here today, Lord, that are struggling with insomnia. They cannot sleep. And Lord, there's a lady that wakes up in the middle of a lot of dreams. She's just so afraid, God. But you want to heal her. You want to set her free because Jesus, you died. It is finished. Lord, there's some people in this place today, Lord, that have heard the words over their lives that they're not good enough. They're not like their brothers. They're not like their sisters. Just so much shame entrenched over words spoken. And today, Lord, you wash away those words. Today you break the power of shame, the power of guilt. You bring forgiveness. Lord, there's a lady here that has been praying a lot in her life, Lord, but she's grown discouraged, tired. She's lost faith. She just prays out of fear now, and you want to today change that around so that she will see you first and then begin to pray out of faith. We thank you today, Lord, for faith, the currency of heaven. Lord, stir in our hearts faith again, Lord. For some people here that are discouraged, they've lost their way, stir faith, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you for a freedom to believe, freedom to know, freedom to walk on water. Hallelujah. We're going to sing this song, and if God has been speaking to you today and you need prayer, I want you to come to the front. There's going to be people in front praying with you. If you don't know Jesus, hey, please don't walk out here without getting to know him. He died for you. Don't go into this weekend and think you can make it on your own. It's just when he has placed worth on you, amen? So if you need prayer, even if you want to stay behind and come later, we'll stay here, we'll wait for you. Because God is never in a rush. He's got a plan with your life. And you're not too old and you're not too young. There's some of you that now need to be obedient to what God calls you to do. And he's going to set you free. But if you need prayer, if you feel lonely, if you feel like one of those words are for you, then I want you to come to the front. We're going to just agree over you. We're going to pray and say, God, let your kingdom come. We're going to let your kingdom come. Just come if God has been speaking to you. We're going to take some oil. We're going to anoint you. We're going to say, God, we rebuke the lies of the devil. No more. Because, Lord, the prison doors are open. And I want you to come, especially older people, because it's normally the young people that come first. I mean, they're easy to respond and just say, hey, I want to be there. I want to know God. Why do we lose that, older people? Look there, it's just younger people. They always rush to the front. But I want some of the older people, I want to challenge you. Humble yourself. Pride is going to take us nowhere, sir. Pride is not going to change you. It's only the voice of God, amen? We're going to sing a song, and if God...
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.